The Around the NFL Podcast has an open tab at Huckapoo's.
Welcome back to another edition of the Around the NFL Podcast. My name is Dan Hansis, and I am joined by a room filled with some heroes. To my left, Colleen Wolf. To my right, Greg Rosenthal. What's up, people?
Yeah, get ready for this show.
Wow.
I've had a lot of coffee.
Yeah, Colleen does have an interesting energy here today.
There's a little bit of buzz to her. She's doing the live updates for NFL Network today, which means you've been up for a long time.
I've been up since 5.
You're just
and
on.
It's now 2.
You're just on live television. You literally ripped the handle off our the door.
That's right.
While you were on your way to the bathroom.
You pack a lot of strength into that small frame of yours, Colleen. You've left us trapped in here now.
I know. At least we have water. That's good. And
lot.
Sully.
And Sully, we must feast on you if it comes to it.
Like, oh, dear.
Like the movie Alive.
Oh, dear.
This is the Thursday edition of the Around the NFL Podcast. We are excited to have Connie with us. And we have, as I mentioned on Twitter, if you follow on Twitter and damn it, you should. A little later today, one of the voices, the behind-the-scenes voices of the Around the NFL Podcast, Frags, is going to join us. And also, we'll have another.
That question's huge.
We'll have another satellite hero joining in via the telephone at the end of the show. A lot to get to today. I'm very excited about today's show. And also, tonight is the Commissioner's Awards Party, the 10th annual even.
Another company function
with an open bar, which is good. Best part of this time of year. Colleen, you and I are going.
We are.
And
I promise videos.
What was Greg's exact reaction?
Oh,
he said, Greg,
stop.
Do you want to come?
Eh.
Who cares?
I didn't say that.
Why should I go, though? Who will be there? It's like, us?
I didn't say that.
People
you're,
will
you're
be
You're putting
there.
Words in my mouth. First of all, I got to bring Alice to her last swim class. So,
okay, good dad.
If you're already back on the other side of town, are you going to drive back just for the second half of the thing?
Where is this event?
Marina Del Rey.
And okay. You live?
Okay, Santa Monica, but
not that far.
I think what I said was there's going to be a lot of people there.
Right, that's the point.
Yeah, that's scary.
What does
me.
That mean?
Just like a large, I don't like large groupings of people
that's my
where
thing.
You're expected to.
That's why there's a bar.
Socialize.
Have a couple drinks, let loose. We'll have some fun together.
All right.
Come join us.
Yeah? I don't believe him.
This is like the time where the NFL Network 10th anniversary party where we went and Greg didn't go and it was a chance to bond with Greg. He was kind of newer at the company and he just no-showed at that event. And we're like, what's going on with this guy? And here we are 5 years later. And
you should know by now.
Same story.
We need you, Greg. We want you on that wall. We need you on that wall. Come. Please come, Greg.
All right.
Yeah.
Please
come.
Making me uncomfortable.
Beer
pressure. This is why I try to avoid people.
Okay. So that's today's show. Before we get into anything else, though, there is some actual news. Legitimate news.
It's
Colleen,
a newsy day.
Kind of a good/bad day to be the news lady today.
I know. This is my first day doing news updates.
Oh, wow. Claybon sits there all week, you know, picking his nose.
Waiting.
Yeah, reading a Steven Seagal book that I got him. And then here comes Connie Fox, and all of a sudden the world blows up. Sully, let's hit some news. Sully, are you going to the party?
No.
Oh, why not? You're the life of the party. You're a life of the party guy.
Yeah, not feeling it. It's my Friday night.
So what does Sully do on his Friday night?
I have no plans right now, but I'm not going to the party.
So you're skipping out on the party. It's your Friday night. There's free open bar and you have no plans.
Yeah. Okay. I'm with Greg. Not. I see you guys all day, every day.
Wow. Damn.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm just not going.
All right. Hey. Calm down, Sully.
I'll see you guys at Hanano's afterwards.
All right.
Ooh.
All right.
Yeah.
Let's move on and start with the biggest news of the day. The contract that we have neatly avoided throughout this spring is now a done deal between Derek Carr and the Raiders. On Thursday, the two sides agreed to a 5-year, $125 million extension, $40 million fully guaranteed, $70 million in total guarantees. Someone can explain that to me. I don't know. But I know it's a whole mess of money for Derek Carr and his great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren. $12.5 million signing bonus. This is all according to Rap Sheet. The deal puts Carr over Colts quarterback Andrew Luck. He is now the highest-paid player in the league in terms of average money per year, and this is all happening because Derek Carr played like an MVP last year in his – and, that's not even trying to get on Derek Carr's good side. That's strictly based on his production where he led the Raiders to the precipice of the AFC West title before breaking his leg on Christmas Eve. But he's 26, really is an excellent young quarterback. And, Greg, what does this tell you about the landscape of the NFL that Derek Carr got this deal at this time?
Well, they had no choice. This is such an awkward season for the Oakland Raiders, arguably the most awkward season in the history of the NFL that any team's tried to have. They've been building up to it for about 15 years to have a good team like this. They haven't had a homegrown quarterback to call their own since Kenny Stabler, who left town about 12 years before Derek Carr was born. And right when this is happening, they announced they're leaving for Las Vegas. So to have your best player in a contract situation hanging over the team, like, that wasn't an option. And I think this was an easy contract to do because I think general managers like Reggie McKenzie and owners, I think they all understand that quarterbacks are underpaid, that this is not that much money for Derek Carr, that he's worth more than this.
Yeah, they had to do it. It was just a matter of when it was going to get done. So it was inevitable, and now it sets the market for guys like Matthew Stafford and Kirk Cousins, who, I mean, if I'm Kirk Cousins, if he hits the free agent market, I mean, he could be making $30 million and, like, playing with the 49ers.
It opens up to a whole array of questions about who's worth this type of money. And, Greg, you wrote a column, like a good NFL.com worker bee, talking about why all these people, like the First Take type shows and everybody that's going to waste entire segments, A blocks, B blocks, talking about, is this guy worth the money? Your opinion is, of course he is.
Yes.
Just like almost every guy that can throw the ball in this league should be paid like this.
Well, think about what would Derek Carr in another world where teams actually allowed quarterbacks to hit free agency, what would he get from the Browns or the Jets or the Texans, whatever team it's going to be? Now, seriously, like, how much money do you think he would get if he was on the open market?
I think if the Jets had a chance to get Derek Carr next year.
And they don't even have to give up anything in a trade. You're just signing him as
just
a free agent.
Open up your pocketbook. I think you could. He would command probably something in the range of $35 million a year, maybe.
It's insane. It's so crazy.
But it's finally starting to make sense because for years, we talked on this podcast for years how quarterbacks were getting paid less than top sluggers in baseball or NBA stars. Now that money's starting to get where it should be.
Right, and think about them even compared to other players. So Olivier Vernon's getting 17 a year. Mm-hmm. That's only 30% less than Derek Carr. Nick Perry, who I like a lot as a pass rusher, has signed basically the same amount of years as Carr for about half as much money. Now, how many Nick Perrys would it take in a trade for you to give up Derek Carr? Like eight?
Yeah.
Like, not, like, you know, and he's making half.
The answer is 9 3/4 Nick Perrys.
Right, there's no answer. There's, complications with cloning and morality and all those sorts of things.
Yeah,
and this is all not even mentioning the fact that there's a salary cap.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what if there wasn't a salary cap? What if the NFL, America's greatest game, wasn't run essentially like, communism, socialism?
These colors don't run. I don't like you talking about football like that. It's America's sport.
It's one of the reasons why the NFL is good. They share their profits. They cap worker, wages. The franchise tag limits the movement. Like, if these guys actually could get, like, the rest of the world, they're capitalists, like, what they earn. I don't know. I think it'd be worth $50, $70 million a year. I don't know. These are billion-dollar companies.
I would be interested to see how the deal is structured, too, because I'm sure it's going to be backloaded just so they can get deals done with their guys like Gabe Jackson on the offensive line. He has a deal coming up, and Khalil Mack, too. But also, not to mention that Nevada has no sales tax, sales tax.
It is backloaded.
And, they usually are, but I feel like it might be even more so because that's going to save him so much money. California is like 13.3 state tax.
They did delay a lot of the guarantees until later in the contract so that he could get it. And unlike a lot of NFL contracts, when you sign these young quarterback, franchise quarterback, he's actually going to get through most of it. He'll end up signing a new deal for even more with a year or two left.
And
that's what they do.
This is just both tells you the explosion of the league and the money involved, but also, you know, the story of inflation, which Colleen will get to when she anchors the inflation podcast later this summer. But once upon a time, back in 1996, the New York Jets signed Neil O'Donnell to a top-of-the-market 5-year, $25 million deal. Now we're at 5 for $125 million. And I will also add that the 5 for $25 curse, does it carry to 5 for
$125? Oh.
Is it even worse? What will befall our great leader, Derek Carr? I don't know. I hope nothing.
For new listeners, you have a theory that 5 for $25 million is a cursed contract.
I want you to go through every sport in the last 20 years, 25 years, starting when Danny Tartable signed a 5-year, $25 million deal with the Yankees in 1992, O'Donnell with the Jets, who was that center for the Vikings, Sullivan, about 5 years
Sullivan.
Ago. What a bad deal that was. 5 for $25 will get you every time, but 5 for $125?
Maybe it's different.
I think you're fine.
Yeah.
Congrats to, you know, the Carr family. It's been a big year for him. I mean, he gets on the Around the NFL podcast, and then this.
Right there at the top of the list,
Two great things. I mean, this is a guy who started his career 0-10 in terms of the Raiders were 0-10.
Yeah, that's
there were some doubts in this room. I was wrong in my evaluation. I think if you think about Carr, I think he's very careful. Like he's composed and careful, doesn't take too many mistakes. But then he combines that with he's like athletic enough that when stuff gets crazy, he can improvise and just kind of make it happen because he's that athletic. It's a nice combination.
And I do like it's one of the top jock, like fellow jocks, bit exchanges on social media after a big deal, and we actually got to see it between the Carr brothers.
Oh, yeah.
Our friend David reached out to our friend Derek and said, "Hey, bro. Lunch is on you next time."
Can you imagine, like, your little brother gets a $125 million contract?
I would say I'd feel bad for David Carr, but he's doing well, and he's doing very well at NFL Network. And that guy, and I reached out to Sydney about this privately last Friday. David got a haircut.
He did?
And now he's better looking, which is not that is not cool. David Carr was already a fantastic looking guy, and then he gets a haircut. It's a little less juice going on up top. The part changed a little bit.
Oh.
And now we're in uncharted territory.
Hair expert Dan Hansis chiming in.
I mean, because now he's nailed the hair, and now the roof is off.
The first time that John saw him, he was like, he came running over to me and was like, "That's the most handsome man I've ever seen in my life."
Who are you talking about?
Let's move on. We should move on. I can't just keep talking about another man that I work with like this.
I mean, it's fine. But you should talk to him tonight at the party.
Well, you've done it every show this week. You also made Patrick Claibon visibly uncomfortable with your long
he can deal with that
talk
too.
About how good looking he was.
I only
another
have,
handsome guy.
Yeah, I only have so much mercy upon 9.5s.
Yeah,
in general. of my own gender.
Mark, Chris, and I—we've never heard any of these problems from you.
All right, moving on. Big news in Kansas City. A huge shakeup there. First, we heard that Andy Reid got an extension, which, you know, was notable, obviously, but not surprising or stunning. But then we got the word that John Dorsey, the general manager of the team, will part ways with the team effective immediately, which kind of threw the football cognoscenti for a loop, including one Greg Rosenthal. Greg, this, on a lot of levels, this, you know, there's got to be something cooking behind the scenes because this doesn't make sense. The Chiefs are the prime model of having a front office getting it right, building a team the right way, and now you get rid of the guy that ostensibly was at the top of the pyramid.
It is stunning because I think I've said on this podcast, Dorsey and Reid, I think have had the textbook example of coming into an organization that was in bad shape in a lot of ways and immediately flipping it, having a vision of these are the types of players we're going to go for, this is how we're going to coach, syncing up, and they immediately flipped their record. I believe they were 21-43 in the few years before they got there, and they're almost exactly flipped in the 4 years after, 3 playoff spots, and they're drafting well. Everyone likes working there. Like, it was believed to be a good relationship, and then you get this statement out of nowhere.
So bizarre.
From the chairman of the Chiefs, Clark Hunt, that Dorsey's gone.
Yeah, these two, they've never finished lower than second place together. And as soon as I saw this news, it was almost like, so Andy Reid is signing this extension and staying, and Dorsey's out. Like, I mean, is that Reid being like, you can keep me, but he's got to go? Like,
I wonder if it was
just
a move.
Keep everything under wraps?
It was almost like the organization, perhaps, knowing that Dorsey leaving would lead to a mess of questions about the entire regime, and maybe we extended Reid just so you know. It's not, there's nothing crazy, crazy happening, but we're moving on from the GM.
Well, the state, I think we'll learn more when, you know, our NFL Network insider Ian Rapport chimes in. I think there will be more of a backstory, so this is in motion. But I do think you can learn from the
Ian's on the golf course right now. So.
You can learn from the statement that the Hunt family released. Clark specifically, he said, I notified John we would not be extending his contract beyond the 2017 season. After consideration, we felt like it was in his best interest and the best interest of the team to part ways now. So something, usually coach and GM gets their contracts at the same time. They want to be aligned.
Right.
Whenever this contract negotiation started with Dorsey, you would think the expectation was he was going to be there. Because they have let Dorsey make all the moves this offseason. They let him shuffle much of his personnel staff. He let go of some people. So there's
Chris Ballard's gone. That was their number two guy.
Right. Chris Ballard left because he got a better job. They wouldn't. So you would think this is all taking it by surprise. But the fact that they mentioned his contract and, you know, to be square, we talked with someone downstairs.
Somebody in the know.
You know, a little
off, source?
Off the record.
A little bit, I didn't have three sources on it, so I was going to stay quiet. Greg has a different pulse.
No, I would have said the same thing, that it seems like the contract, and whether that's money or power or whatever it is, that began a disagreement. And who knows? Maybe Dorsey didn't play it well, and the Hunt family said, all right, see ya. Who knows?
Wow, I mean,
these things can happen in contracts. People, emotions, you know.
How well is this roster?
Your contract's coming up, Colleen. Want to talk about that?
That's right. That's on the inflation pod.
Well done, well done. That roster has been constructed extremely well, and now without your number one guy, your number two guy, they better trust their number three guy.
Well, they shuffled. Thing is, they shuffled out. There are a lot of the guys that would be the 3, 4, 5, like key guys in that personnel staff. So they're starting over at a very strange time. I can't remember a GM ever being fired at this time of year.
It's a weird move for sure.
It's a weird move for a team that's been doing so well.
And we're going to find out more once all of our insiders get off the golf course. Mm-hmm. There's multiple. These guys are like Trump level.
That doesn't include you, though.
Right, no. Listen,
we're here.
Let me tell you something about where I grew up. Where I grew up. I mean, in my coal town, there was no room for golf courses.
Well, what'd you do for fun?
Barely any trees.
How'd you relax?
I'll tell you how we relaxed. When we got out of that chute and we could still breathe. Mm-hmm. That's the most relaxing breath you'll ever take.
Shoot.
Oh, my God.
So you are now, in this fantasy land you have, you are now working the coal mine as a kid.
Hey, I got out. And anybody that...
You just cracked open a beer.
Yeah, anybody that...
What's the name of the town again?
That's Pearl River, New York. The Town of Friendly People. Anybody... That's how we got the name, the Town of Friendly People. Anybody that got out... You were as friendly as can be because you were alive.
You're just happy. Drink it in the air.
All right.
I'm glad you're here, Dan.
I'm glad to be here. And I can't wait to see you tonight, Colleen.
Yeah. Hey.
Greg, you know, maybe I'll see you. Maybe I won't. let's move on and talk a little. Let's get on the throne of ease. Oh, boy. David Harris was dumped by the Jets earlier this month. He was a Jets lifer since 2017, 10 years, started every game, was really the lifeblood of that defense in the middle, their play caller and all that. And now he lands with, of course, the New England Patriots, who, if you followed the Jets-Patriots quote-unquote rivalry, you knew that Belichick had a very high level of respect for Harris and the way he played the game. And now there's talk that he, Colleen, is going to be a starter potentially in New England, and it feels like David Harris might end up getting a ring out of all this.
Of course he will.
And how about that?
I know. This is a nightmare for you, but that's how these things happen, especially with the Patriots. And look at what they've done this offseason, just the guys that they've picked up from within the division. David Harris just happened, and then you have Mike Gillisley and Stephon Gilmore from the Bills. They're just poaching everybody from the division, and they're gonna win another ring. I'm sorry.
No.
Well, a couple of things. First of all, they didn't really poach David Harris from the Jets.
Sure.
The Jets moved on from David Harris. But, and I got a ton of tweets immediately upon this news breaking, including, what was the one, Greg, that it
invoked
well, like, both of us?
Yeah, I wish I could pay to see the text exchange between Dan and Greg right now after this.
Like, everybody thought I was going to wake up, see Twitter, and just be, like, ripping out my hair in anger. No, David Harris, and maybe this is kind of part of why he was underappreciated as a Jet. He just went about his work. He wasn't, you know, a change the game type player. He was just like a really steady guy.
He's consistent.
Yeah, consistent. Yeah.
Smart.
And smart, you know, a guy that never missed a practice and led the right way. And that's part of the reason I thought they should have held on to him, just because you could do it. By the way, you could tear it down like the Jets are doing and do a full rebuild. And I get it. And I get it. Woody wants to save money. But you should keep some of these guys in the building to, like, teach the young guys how to play the game and show them a path. Eric Decker and David Harris were two guys that were exactly the type of veterans that you look for. But sometimes the owner wants to save money because this is a play thing. And I think I am not upset that David Harris signed with the Patriots. I'm really not. The Revis one stung a little bit. Absolutely. Because he was the most famous Jet of my lifetime. The Harris one, I'm happy for him. I'd much rather him sign with the Jets and the Jaguars or something.
There was no text exchange, and I think Harris, if all goes well, will be that veteran guy that
he's
they
a perfect
pick up, kind of
bee.
Searching for the ring like a Junior Seau or stuff. But let's not get carried away. The money tells part of the story. 2 years, $5 million, $1.25 guaranteed. So that tells me he's on the team this year. He's getting paid like a, not a real starter, but kind of like a rotational type of guy. He'll help out. The signing immediately reminded me of was the Jets, the Patriots signing one of Bill Belichick's all-time favorite Jets, which was Sean Ellis. And I don't think anyone really remembers Sean Ellis's 1 year with the Patriots. He was just, you know, there. He was a guy on the team, and that was that. That's more likely how these things go.
He got that contract solely because out of nowhere he played like a defensive end version of LT in that playoff game the Jets beat the Patriots at Foxborough all those years ago now. But, yeah, so it could be Ellis. He could be another Jets example. Victor Green, another top 50 all-time Jet on their, according to their list, went to the Pats in the early 2000s. I think he got a ring with the Pats. There was a memorable – his first game back in the Meadowlands, he had a pick six off Vinny Testaverde. So good luck to David Harris. Now, everyone thinks that I'm, like, freaking out at all times. I'm trusting the process right now.
Whoa.
Hashtag trust the process. And I'm thinking bigger things. A certain guy playing in USC, I'm not allowed to talk about him. But I'm thinking big picture, and that starts with a 2-14. All right.
Oh.
It's going to be a tough year. That's what's happening in the news. Good news chatter.
Yeah. It's been a great day. I'm looking at your rundown right now, and there's an amazing picture of Frags on there.
Oh, yeah. I like to put in the rundown I send out to the team, I like to add a picture. Sometimes it's a picture of Colleen. I'll do a Google
usually,
search.
Yeah.
Which, if the league ever audited my Google searches, they would think it was me being creepy. But it's really just, I like to get an image in there. I have fun.
Research.
Yeah.
Well, you.
Research.
They could find many.
I tells you. Research.
I mean, they could find evidence of you being creepy. This just wouldn't happen to be it. I'm sure.
I think you
searches.
Should speak for yourself in that one, sir. Put it that way, and I'll leave it there. Elevate your underwear game, because you're a creep.
Speaking of creepy.
To the next level with MeUndies. What is MeUndies? Just seriously soft, feel-good undies delivered right to your door. Somebody actually tweeted at me yesterday and gave me crap for reading the MeUndies read too quickly. Hey, put some more effort
Take
into your MeUndies.
Take your time. Don't mail this in,
really,
man.
Really chew the fat. Yeah, chew the scenery.
Of all the things you could tweet at somebody.
That gravy train's going to end.
Yeah. You like the gravy train.
I can't.
MeUndies are designed in L.A. and made from sustainably sourced, a fabric 3 times softer than cotton. MeUndies softer than soft. Lugjundies come in an ever-changing selection of classic colors, bold shades, and adventurous patterns so you can tailor your undies to your own personal style. I'm wearing the pandas today.
A lot of information, yeah. But that's cool.
Listen, that's just what it is. And guess what?
What?
You can save time and money each month with a monthly subscription. Yeah. And if you're not ready for a subscription, that's okay. You can still save. That's because MeUndies is offering you 20% off your first pair. Just use our special URL, and it's very special, MeUndies.com/AroundTheNFL to save 20% off your first pair. So go ahead, revamp your underwear drawer. You deserve it. Once again, that's MeUndies.com/AroundTheNFL. Hope that wasn't too fast for that guy that loves underpants commercial reads so much that he wants
to slow it down.
He wants to savor it. How about this, buddy? Go into your playback on your iPhone or your Android and play it at half speed and really savor it. Really dig in. Enjoy yourself.
Maybe he Maybe he was listening on 2x speed.
Maybe. All right, so. Let's move on now. So the Raiders have their quarterback, and we never stressed about it in this room. It was a major story until the deal happened, but you knew it was going to happen. But here's the good thing is that they got the deal done. This will not hang over them, and it won't be a distraction. To me, it doesn't make the Raiders a bigger threat in 2017. That's a nice little thing, though. Mm-hmm. You take care of your quarterback, and you move forward. So why don't we check in, and we'll call this the AFC Hierarchy Update.
Oh, wow.
Great title.
It's not bad.
Sounds official.
Hierarchy. And
that set in stone?
What's that?
We're going to workshop this one?
Yeah. You think it needs work?
Spice it up a little bit? I don't know.
Why don't you get back to end of show, an updated title that maybe we can use in the episode recap.
Ooh, okay. Homework. Yeah.
Possibly.
There you go.
Now you're on the spot.
Now I'm on the spot.
Yeah, in a big spot. Yep. Anyway, so let's break it down. We're trying to figure out, basically this is an exercise, Colleen, who can beat the damn Patriots. Mm. I mean, let's figure this out. And so that's where I'll start it this way. And Greg is probably going to disagree because Greg always pretends like the Patriots aren't as good as they are. But I'm putting the Patriots in their own class still.
Yep.
I'm putting them at number one, and they're just sitting there. They got the trophies. They got the best quarterback and the best coach, and they had as everyone loves to tell you, had an amazing offseason on top of it. Now they got David Harris, a warrior, in the middle of their defense. Patriots only got better. So to me, their own class in this hierarchy. Greg, agree or disagree?
I don't agree.
Oh, come on, man.
Why don't you
agree? You're living in a fantasy world, man. Wake up.
Because it's football. Football, single elimination, one game, this or that. And the reason I don't totally agree. Okay, they're the favorites. Yes, they would be the team you would put first. Absolutely. But the Pittsburgh Steelers this season, I think, are the best Pittsburgh Steelers team Mike Tomlin's ever had. That includes, you know, some that have been favored to make Super Bowls, one that won a Super Bowl as a lower seed. This Steelers team has a defense, Making the Leap preview that might be on Making the Leap coming up.
Uh-oh.
Making the Leap's back.
Making the Leap's back.
I thought it was like one of those sitcoms that the ratings keep dwindling.
Yeah.
And they somehow it keeps coming back, but eventually there's just a shrug and they just say it's over.
Well, you know what? Like
not renewed.
You know the last thing they do with those are it changes formats and it's like a half season.
Right.
That's kind of what this is like.
And
it's only going to be like five Making the Leaps, and they're a little different.
Oh, that's good.
But one of them is going to be the Steelers' defense.
We're down to five?
Down to just five.
From 40.
Well, 40 was the first year. That was overambitious.
Let's put it to rest. Because that's a lot, and you're the only one writing it.
That's true.
That's a lot of pressure on you, Greg. If you only go five, you almost have to go at least 4 out of 5 to be respected in the football cognoscenti.
People don't remember. People
we remember.
They're still listening to this podcast after we ranked Cordarrelle Patterson number one.
Yeah. He is a good kickoff guy.
The Steelers, okay, the defense, this is what they've been waiting for a while. And then the offense, among the best offensive lines in the league. And you have Roethlisberger, Brown, and Bell all together.
Martavis Bryant.
All still at the height of their powers at the same time. I think you put this team in almost any other season, and they're – better than the consensus Super Bowl favorites going into a season. So that's why I don't see why the Patriots and the Steelers are on two totally crazy different planes.
Colleen, am I crazy for countering with Ben Roethlisberger's never beaten the Patriots in the playoffs?
I know.
Doesn't that matter?
It's sort of an
issue.
They've
only played a few times, though.
But I feel like there's always something that's like, you know, they have like a key injury. He's injured.
There's always something with the Steelers to make the excuse why they didn't beat the Patriots this year. Last year was Le'Veon Bell.
They haven't really met up against Patriots too often in the Roethlisberger era, and things are always trends until they change. You know what I mean? And they're good enough, I think, to beat anyone.
I love the Steelers. You know who else I like?
Wait, but before we go on, so you're – hold that thought, Connie. You're going to honestly say if we're making a hierarchy
– Yeah.
You want to go 1A, 1B? You're not going to even put the Pats in their own tier?
I'm going to give Pats the respect of number one. And they're in the same tier as the Steelers. And those are the two.
Just those two?
Okay.
Well, because here's how I would separate those two from the rest of the league. I would be stunned if those teams are not in the playoffs. No one else would stun me if they aren't in the playoffs. I mean, the Steelers.
The Raiders?
Is that the team you're going to talk about?
I got to.
The Raiders are great, okay. But I think you can find ways to see how good that division is, and things could go a little wrong for them, like they went right for them last year. And yeah, I could. To me, the Steelers, if they don't make the playoffs this year, like is Mike Tomlin in trouble? That's a huge disappointment. They're too good.
Well, it's very top heavy, Colleen, because you got. All right, if we're gonna, I'll go along with you, Greg, begrudgingly. If you want to put the Steelers in that tier with the Patriots, actually, I won't. I'm gonna disagree.
No, yeah, we can disagree.
Patriots go in their own tier.
Patriots in their own tier, and then the next tier should be Steelers 2, and I feel like it has to be Raiders 3, right?
Yeah, that's exactly what I would do too.
But I don't know if there's anybody else that belongs in that tier. Mm. I think it's very top heavy still this conference.
I think so, because after that, it's like the Chiefs. Like they, I don't want to put them in. Though their team does look good and their offense is great.
Nobody has a better record in the last 18 months than the Chiefs, and this is the whole thing with the Chiefs. They're always disrespected, but there's a reason for that. Is that they're not? I don't think quite at this level, and I'm not ready to. I don't want to put them in that tier. I would put them at the top of tier 3.
Yeah.
So if tier 1 is you're the cream of the crop, rise to the top. Never trust the pig, because a pig is a cop.
Okay.
Anybody? Anybody remember?
Oh, yeah.
Wait, Sully, do you know?
Nope.
I don't.
You don't?
No.
You're just a kid. Greg?
Is that Onyx?
No.
I'm like listening to the it's the same song
era.
In my head.
It's the same era as Onyx. It is House of Pain.
Yeah.
Oh.
Up around.
Pathetic that I just did that.
And I don't feel that way about the armed forces or our local police at all.
Okay, damn.
I'm just saying that is more an Everlast thing.
Mm.
The old Zeuser is all about the local
the
police.
Air.
And the federal.
Yeah, because that really wouldn't fit in with your whole salt of the earth coal mining.
No. I got a lot of state troopers in my family, Dan.
There you go.
Yeah.
Do you have a PBA card?
I don't.
What?
I know. I had one for a little, but it expired. They expire.
They expire, but that's why you have to go to different
I'm also not
weddings,
driving
funerals,
in Pennsylvania
anymore. Do you have a PBA card, Greg?
I did way back in the day. I'm not sure how I came upon it, but it's been a while.
Interesting.
It's a very nice move to get a PBA card. Get you out of a lot of tickets. It's the police... Benevolent?
Yeah,
association.
Benevolent Association, something like that. Here's the thing, why the Raiders don't belong with the Steelers.
Okay.
They had a bad defense last year. And they made some moves to make you think that they're going to be better, but they haven't had a great defense. It's an uneven team. I think the Steelers have the potential to be a very good defense, mm-hmm. be a little more balanced, along with their great offense.
Their corners are a little...
Like, on paper, it mostly looks pretty good. You got Khalil Mack. You got Bruce Irvin. You've made some upgrades in the secondary. We'll see if Conley appears. He's not going to be arrested at this point, and he could be a big
good. Great.
Wow.
Actor.
That's where we are.
Like, on paper, they should be a little better. Ken Norton Jr. has been under fire since he's been there. They have really not had a good defense the last few years. And they won a lot of close games. Derek Carr is the all-time leader in his first three seasons of game-winning comebacks, but it's because they're behind in a lot of those games.
Well,
you know, it's a lot of comebacks.
That's fair. I'll counter there though that the biggest tragedy of the 2016 season was the Derek Carr leg injury because
on Christmas Eve
they were that robbed the entire all football fans of a great AFC playoffs, and I think the Raiders could have went toe to toe and even beaten the Patriots if that game was played in the black hole, which it could have been, or that at the very least they were going to get a home game and a bye if they just would have finished out the schedule the way everyone anticipated. So I think they were already almost at the Patriots level by the end of last season. So I think that, and I'm granting that they're below the Pats, but I don't see a huge drop off. The Steelers are prone to funks. If you want to base this off last year,
that's true.
Ben Roethlisberger went through stretches where he looked like a very average quarterback. He looked every bit a 36-year-old quarterback at times, and he has trouble staying healthy. And I don't know. I think that they're in the same category. Now let's go to the sleepers stage. Who's the number one sleeper? Greg, get us going here. If we're looking at the Pats as number one, who could shock the Pats on division weekend in Foxborough? And it would be shocking to everyone, but not – it would be stunning, but not shocking. I put shock ahead of stun.
Well, the three teams, you're talking sleepers.
What if it's the Chargers?
That's one of the teams I would throw in there.
Phil Rivers going to Foxborough and getting his revenge?
I think the talent on that team is good enough that they could get it done. And that's another reason why I don't put the Raiders there, because I just look at the AFC West and I think this is the most fascinating division in football. It's the best division in football. So much can happen. Like the AFC goes through that division, and so you never know when a division's that good. But I would say the teams that stick out to me, you say sleepers, the Titans, who we spoke a lot about last show, the Chargers, and I'm as the off season's worn on, I'm feeling a Bengals resurgence.
Ooh. Wow.
That I'm not giving up on them being in the mix. I can see that happening.
This is such a big
a
year
factor
for Andy Dalton coming back at full health, having a much better supporting cast this year. He has a real chance to put a stamp on himself as being a guy never to be talked about with the Dalton line ever again, which is hard when it's actually your name. And I'm very excited. That is one of the things once we get closer to the season, we talk about the things we're most looking forward to is, for me, seeing how Cincinnati and Andy Dalton, 1 year removed from a very heartbreaking, devastating playoff loss, and then, you know, Tyler Eifert getting hurt in the Pro Bowl of all things and then getting pilfered in free agency. I want to see what they're like now that they're kind
of – They had a lot of losses on that offensive line.
Big
losses too.
Yep.
Yeah, their season kind of comes down to their two young tackles. I'm giving them a little bit of – just looking at the entirety of the last 4 or 5 years, giving them credit for that and giving the thought that this is still a pretty young team with some premier talent. So I think it just wouldn't surprise me if they kind of bounce back to that 11-5 in the mixed level.
Because I could hear it in my ear right now, Chris Wessling yelling at his mobile device. I will speak on behalf of Wessling right now and say that if we're trying to talk ourselves into the idea of Andy Dalton and the Bengals going to Foxborough in a road game and winning in the playoffs, a team that hasn't won a playoff game in the entire tenure of Marvin Lewis, okay, it's a bit of a pipe dream. That's shocking.
It's a sleeper.
That's shocking.
Sleeper.
Yeah.
The sleeper.
That's
a deep sleeper.
That is someone with a major narcolepsy issue.
But don't you like the Chargers?
I like the Chargers.
In that spot?
I think they're saucy, and maybe I'll throw in the Titans. We should move on, but I think the Titans are the one. The AFC South.
So my
team,
vote doesn't count.
What do you mean
your vote does not count?
The Bengals didn't matter.
Oh no, I'm disagreeing with you, but
that's a lower tier.
I recognize.
So the Ravens don't make that list for you. The Dolphins don't make that group for you.
They're out of the sleeper tier for me.
I'm with you guys.
And are you okay with Tennessee being in the sleeper tier?
Oh yeah, I'm all in.
Oh, you are the deciding vote, Colleen. Is Cincinnati in the sleeper tier?
No.
Never liked you anyways.
That's why he's not going to the commissioner award party. That's right there. All right. And everyone else we didn't talk about, good luck in 2018. All right. Here we go.
That was fun. I want to do another.
There's no tiers below that?
That's it. It's over. Oh my God. Why should we
do an extended version of that on another pod?
To the Chiefs? Well, NFC we could do.
I didn't even think about it. What about the poor Chiefs? I kind of forgot all about them.
Chiefs are in there.
We all forgot about them. Yeah, they're in there somewhere. Where should we put them?
They're in the sleeper one, at least.
Should we put them at the top of the sleeper?
I thought there was more, you know, coming.
Actually, you know what? I have to say, I think it would be unfair to put them even in the sleeper, considering they were the number two seed last year. I'd put them at the bottom of the tier below the Pats.
Maybe they're in their own tier.
The Chiefs tier, the Alex Smith
the
tier.
The Chiefs tier, yeah.
That seems fair.
And then it's Greg. Right above sleepers.
Tell you, John Dorsey, maybe he's not putting him in that tier. He said, so long.
Dorsey, your history.
Or maybe he just got fired.
All right, let's move on. It's time to welcome into the studio, oh my goodness, for the first time.
Yeah.
Oh, she's got to have nerves. You have to think she has a lot of nerves right now. She's coming to the studio.
In.
But she's the type, she's not going to show it.
No, she won't.
She's cool,
chill.
Under pressure.
Hyper chill.
We were at a company event this week where we were implored to have a little more swag. We were implored to have a little more swagger.
What?
As a company. Dan heard this, right? I missed this.
I don't know if that was quite the message, but I know what you're talking about.
I could be getting
to.
Into some trouble here.
Yeah.
But yeah, Shadowy
Bags told you to
no,
do this?
A Shadowy League figure said, we gotta get your swagger back. And my point is, Frags has had that swagger the whole time.
Alexandra Fragola, known popularly as Frags, joins us on the Around the NFL podcast for the first time. Welcome, Frags.
Thank you very much for having me.
All right. Now, you listen. You listen to the show? If you listen to the show, you know that voice right away. Let's, Sully, let's scroll through some greatest hits of Frags here on the Around the NFL podcast. She is our chief voiceover talent. Not paid, not compensated yet.
Definitely not compensated.
But here's some of her greatest hits.
Paravil, magnifico.
Great one.
I would say that's like your stairway to heaven.
Yeah. If you were in the around the NFL podcast Hall of Fame, like that's your plaque.
It's like the best. Wow.
Do you speak Spanish?
That's your best. Yeah.
I speak Italian.
Oh.
That's not Spanish or Italian. It's kind of its own.
No, language. I know, yeah. But there was like that, like the role.
Did. Let's hear it one more time.
Yeah.
Since we have Frags here.
Paravil. Magnifico.
There's nothing worse than the sound of your own voice.
Well, not when it's fragile.
No, so this must be fun.
Imagine that, but then you had my voice. That would be weird.
Greg, I love your voice.
Let's hear some other hits.
It's NFL Network's Greg Rosenthal.
I like to consider it like how Elton John had Bernie Taupin. I'm the Bernie Taupin. I was writing the lyrics. And then Frags is the one who brings it to life.
Mm-hmm.
That's the relationship. Is that fair to say, Frags?
Well, the process goes like this. Hanses sends me a weird email, and he asks me to read something. And then I come in here, and I read it, or he reads it in a really good voice, and I'm like, just use that. And then I snort like 4 or 5 times, giggling, and then I finally record it once in like 10 seconds, and we're done.
And
that's how the magic is made.
It usually takes a couple takes, but it's never longer than a couple minutes. We knock it out.
We do.
All right, let's hear
that's
some more
easy.
Greatest hits.
That's good.
Ladies and gentlemen, for one night only, Sashi!
Take us through that process, that creative.
Oh, my
man,
God.
That one was tough because it was like, do you go like Bob Barker and really ham it up? Or are you a little more, you know, like lounge singery? You're very into the lounge singer voice. So usually that's my go-to for Dan.
Do we have anything else?
Does he ever tell you to kind of...
Ooh, slides me off a piece of that Jake Brisky.
That's exactly what I just said.
So yeah, I was going to say, does Dan ever kind of, after the first take, creepily be like, why don't you, sex it up a little bit?
Oh,
God.
I mean, he doesn't necessarily say that, but, you know, it's implied, obviously. This is a very sexy podcast.
I think we did one recently. It might have even been this one.
That question's huge.
It was.
That one was interesting.
Yeah, that was.
Oh no,
that was maybe towing the line a little bit. There was a more recent one that we couldn't remember, and people are going to tweet us about it after the show, where I asked you to turn up the sultry to 8.5.
Mm.
That was.
Yeah, neither of us can think of which one that one was.
It's unfortunate.
The huge one was just top notch because I just got an email with like huge, but said 45 different ways.
Oh
so.
No,
because you have some like buddies that are listeners to the show, right?
Yes. And
good men.
That was how I first like really learned of the podcast when you guys were just up and comers.
On those streets.
Yeah, I was like sitting across from Frags and she wasn't even aware of what we're doing up here.
Well, the magic.
That's nothing special to you. That's just me in general all the time.
All right. So we're going to do a little exercise called Ask Frags Anything. The listeners helped us out with this. But before we do that, if you don't mind, Frags, we're going to get our New Jersey correspondent Connor Orr on the line. Mm. Would you like to sit in for a little, or are you kidding me?
Of course. Nice. You mean the mayor of Indy, Connor Orr. The
mayor. Why do you call him that? This is interesting.
Because he knows everything about Indy. When I was at the Combine, he was like the guru
really?
Of Indy.
He loves
all the good restaurants.
He loves Indy. I hope he's listening right now.
All the tunnels, like the secret.
Oh, everything.
You don't have to go outside.
He can correct me, but I believe he's spoken about relocating to Indy. He likes it so much.
Wow.
But in another world where he just couldn't pull that off.
I believe the story is when he was looking for a job. Are you on, Connor?
I've made it. Yeah. I'm here.
Hey, buddy. Would you mind telling us one more time the story of when you were job hunting and you were trying to pitch your wife on moving to Indianapolis?
It was Cincinnati.
Oh, it was Cincinnati. And, that's right.
I told her that the main perk was that Indianapolis is only like an hour and a half away, so you could spend many a magical day and night there.
Frags is in the studio, Connor, and she was marveling to us about your almost encyclopedic knowledge of the city of Indianapolis, one of America's great mid-tier cities, but nobody knows it better than you.
Yeah, I think, out of all the things in the world, it's probably not the most useful thing to be an encyclopedic expert about, but it gets me where I need to go.
All right, so, Connor, every once in a while, new listeners to the show should understand this, that Connor is a guy, he's a low-key guy, but sometimes Connor needs to get something off his chest, and if he doesn't, he just might blow. He's that type of situation. So what we do here on the Around the NFL podcast, we provide Connor that platform with a segment that we call, Are You Kidding Me?
I just want to know why I haven't been approached about this one.
Yeah. I was thinking the same thing.
Whatever.
All right, we could talk about it after the show. And I should mention, because contractually we're obligated to do so, that Connor, you are on the MeUndies Underpants hotline right now.
So creepy.
Wow, that's an honor. That's something that I never thought would happen.
So what's grinding your gears, Connor?
So I was reading some letters to the editor from Sports Illustrated the other day, and this guy, for probably the 100th time, but it's every person thinks that they've come up with this idea for the first time. You know what we need to do to fix football is put in relegation like English soccer because it's so refined and it'll do it. Shut up. This is just the stupidest idea and I'm sick of hearing about it.
Football ain't football. Get it through your thick skull. Yeah, why does that annoy you so much, Connor?
Well, there's two things. First of all, you can tell who this guy is. He's like, the craft beer guy with the tech job who listens to the dirty projectors, and he's like, wow, no one's ever thought of this while I play FIFA. Let me email Peter King. But, okay, so let's turn football into a league where they've had four different champions since 1995. That's exactly what we want to do over here.
Parody is not as great as you may think it is. Oh, it's the other way around. Never mind.
Four different champions since Sheryl Crow won the Grammy for Best New Artist.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
So is this, Connor, a shot not just at the idea but at soccer itself?
I think it's fine, but, just don't make your thing my thing. Like, this is our thing, and it's over here, and then you got your thing over there, and they're both good. So why, oh, let's make a hamburger pizza. No, let's keep it the way it's supposed to be.
What's your favorite Sheryl Crow song? Mine's my favorite mistake. What is yours, by the way, Connor?
I would say, that's a good one. I want to soak up the sun.
Ooh, you know, a little late period Crow.
Right, yeah. Like Lance Armstrong period Crow.
All right, so what do you say to that guy? What is a way to give him some constructive criticism about his ability to criticize football?
Okay, so you're going to just relegate, you're going to relegate the Browns and like eight other teams, and then just a quarter of football is just that we'll see you next year, I think it's just a terrible idea, and it works for them over there, but I would say if you have an idea, just run it by three other people first.
Just keep it to yourself.
It's the greatest idea ever, and then calling someone and just, spouting off.
It's about forming your own board of bad ideas. Anything else you have to add there, Connor?
Or are you kidding me?
I think you made very fair points there. I think that's something that comes up a lot now, and it's, you know, enough with the relegation
thing. I thought you were even going to go hard at the entire letters to the editor industry.
Oh, wow.
Maybe get rid of those.
Ooh.
I think it's a fine way to connect. It's just, you know, and there are plenty of people who make some valid points. I think we need to hear from everybody, but just not that guy.
I have noticed that Connor's, or are you kidding me's, have gone from clearly kind of off the top of his head to a little bit scripted, but scripted in a way that it is the quality is increasing with every episode, and I appreciate that. Do you want to get a plug in on your secondary podcast?
Ooh, Mark Sessler and I, the Heat and Light podcast, taping episode 4 on Monday.
Ooh. Who is Heat and who is Light?
I think that's for everybody to decide, you know? I think that's part of the beauty of it. We try not to define anything, but just sort of let you dictate your own experience.
Can we get a little taste of what was on the last episode? Like a little teaser?
Yeah, the last episode we kind of dug into some ghosts, where it was really sort of the central focus of it, hauntings, and sort of some of the demons that emerged from the Sharon Tate murders in California. So,
this is not surprising.
On Mark's secondary podcast, you guys talked about the Sharon Tate murders. This is stunning.
all right. One day, secret government villages in mountains. It's a real thing.
Oh, no.
Tune in.
All right. Make sure to check it out. And also, I mean, if you're going to be listening to these other podcasts, episode 3 of the Throwback Pod is up. This week, we focus on Pinkerton. Anybody? Ooh. Any Pinkerton fans in the room?
No.
Little deep dive. Little Weezer follow-up.
Yeah, I'm out on this one.
Well, what are you going to do? All right. Thank you, Connor.
Thank you, guys.
See you, Connor.
A little esoteric Weezer talk. You know, what are you going to do?
That sounds great.
It's okay. All right. So, now it's time. Frag's still with us. How was your first Are You Kidding Me experience?
It lived up to the hype. It's, you know, I only met Connor once in person, and it was far exceeded my expectations. So.
Oh, we went to the Nikki Blaine cigar bar.
We did.
Oh.
That my hair fun. Smelled like cigar for like 6 weeks.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. It's a bit of...
Like, I immediately had to take a shower after leaving that place.
All right. So here we go. Let's go through some questions. Chris Law, who, of course, used to work here, and now he works over on the Rich Eisen show, he asked a question I think many people have wondered about Frags as we begin Ask Frags Anything. What is Frags hiding from the Twitter world? Hashtag locked account. You don't see locked accounts too often on Twitter anymore. Why are you locked?
I don't really know. I think I locked it when I was like 22 and I was scared I was going to get fired if I retweeted like Complex magazine articles. And since I still do that, I just kind of left it locked. But I mean, if there's demand for it, I could definitely unlock it.
All right. Next up. When?
Well, now you're going to get a lot of listeners.
I did. I shout out to the like 20 people who added me after your
Fraggle Rocks.
Fraggles Rocks.
But so you approve them.
Same on the IG.
You let them in.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I trust the people that you trust.
If they
turn out to be, that's kind of on you guys. That's a reflection of the ATN podcast.
Pressure.
Moving on. When Matt Money Smith gets too famous, and he's almost there now that he's the voice of the Chargers, will you take over the money drops? This honestly had never crossed my mind, and I love the idea. Matt Money Smith does our intros for our show. Would you potentially be willing to replace Matt Money?
I mean, we'd have to do some negotiations. I'd have to talk to Jeff Birchfield, my manager/representation.
Wow. I mean, with all due respect.
You know.
Compensation would have to be there.
You know,
compensation could easily be like a slice of pizza once a month.
Okay.
So, like, I'm not, it's, you know.
With our budget?
Yeah.
I mean, with all due respect, Frags, you know I'm a big fan of you. But this is like asking Jimmy Garoppolo about taking Tom Brady's job when Tom Brady's still in his prime. They're called money drops.
That's fair.
You also started the conversation by saying we needed more swagger. And more swaggerific than demanding money to do something.
Absolutely.
Or in this case, pizza.
I think that's fair. This one is ties back to Greg had a squabble with Miko Grimes. do you hashtag stand with Miko or roll with the double G? Where do you go with this?
G, double G. He's 60% G, which the first time I heard that was mind-blowing. Not that I want beef with Miko, because Miko, like, clearly knows what she's doing. She's not first ready with this. So
you're kind of backing down from Miko, but also supporting Greg.
I'm ride or die for Greg. I mean, Greg's awesome, so.
Thanks, Greg.
Of course. Right.
Very good. Let's see, what else? Ooh, this is a good one. This will be fun. Did you practice like I asked you to?
You didn't tell me to practice. You just sent it to me.
Okay.
This is what you're doing.
This one was from Gabriel Martins. Why did you turn down the voice role on the movie Her? Her is one of my favorite movies of the last 15 years.
I've never seen it.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't seen it either.
Jacqueline Phoenix.
Yeah, this is when he was doing his like weird performance art.
No, this is post.
Stuff.
No, that was after that.
Yeah,
no,
this
that was
is
after.
Post.
This is a great movie. I'm with you. One of my five or six favorite movies of the last 10 years.
Okay,
absolutely.
Here is one of my one of the more well known dialogue scenes from that film, in which Scarlett Johansson plays a disembodied robot, basically in a future world, and Jacqueline. Is that how you pronounce it?
Joaquin Phoenix.
Joaquin. I like Jacqueline. Joaquin Phoenix.
Wait, was that real?
Falls in love.
Yes. I was like, I don't know who he's talking about. I have no idea who this person is.
I thought this was like some weird around the NFL thing that I just did.
There's a lot of bits.
Joaquin Phoenix, let's listen to this.
I had this terrible thought. Like, are these feelings even real? Or are they just programming? And that idea really hurts. And then I get angry at myself for even having pain. What a sad trick.
You feel real to me, Samantha.
Thank you, Theodore. That means a lot to me.
All right, so this is for that listener who wanted to know why Frags turned it down. We're going to now reenact that role. Frags, get us going.
There's absolutely no way I make it through this.
You could do it. Frags, you're professional. You've proven it in the studio. Now's the time with the lights up. I am Theodore. You are Samantha. Go.
This is so crazy.
I want you to be Samantha. But
yeah, actually.
Let's do it.
I had this terrible thought. Like, are these feelings even real? Or are they just programming? And the idea really hurts. And then I get angry at myself for even having pain. Huh. What a sad trick.
You feel real to me, Samantha.
Thank you, Theodore. It means a lot to me.
There we go.
That's amazing.
Now.
Wow.
That is probably the weirdest thing I've ever done for you.
That answers some other questions people had. You could have played that role.
Yeah.
Johansson wasn't even in the movie. It was just her voice.
I heard you make a lot of money doing that. So
you should do that.
Definitely into that.
Yeah.
Maybe you do need an agent.
Johansson was a last-minute replacement. They did the whole movie with someone else's voice and then took her out. Samantha
Johansson.
Morton.
Wow.
Carried that movie. Oh, I like Morton.
Get the background knowledge on that one.
And
I was a big Her fan.
That was, Greg, you and I both are big fans of that movie. You guys, ladies?
Yeah.
Check out Her. I bet you'll like it.
Okay.
And the final question is as follows. Frags, who is John Gonzalez?
John Ronald Gonzalez, born March 12, 1977, is an American sports writer who is married to NFL media broadcaster Colleen Wolf. John, who's a Pisces, resides in Los Angeles with his wife and two dogs.
Never mind. We have the answer.
I actually like looked that up because I was like, what's happening? And my first thought was like, that's Colleen's husband, right? And then there was all this stuff that was like around the NFL podcast. Who does Colleen Wolf date? And I was like, oh, my God, this is a rabbit hole. I didn't even know I was going down. You have a lot of fans out there.
I love that you Googled it. That's
amazing.
Oh,
yeah, because I was like, it had all these likes.
Who is John Gonzalez?
It had all these likes. I was curious.
It's a rabbit hole. A lot of people have been going into it. It's a question.
Yeah.
America is asking.
And it's kind of slowly driving John insane.
We get it in different languages now, too.
All right. Frags, you came in here and you showed the world that you could do it with the lights off and the lights on. this podcast. So, a very good job.
When are the lights off?
No, because when we do it, these lights overhead. Don't read into it.
I'm just asking.
That's terrible, Colleen. You know what? That's not a way to end this.
This marks the first and last time I'll appear on this
podcast. And it wasn't my fault. All right. Okay. Thank you, Frags.
Thank you for having me.
And keep up the good work. And one day we will pay you.
I will hold my breath on that one.
Wow, yeah. Really?
No. You know.
Colleen's like,
just
what about me?
Can.
Yeah.
we'll work all this out. Greg is handling all this. He's the money man.
We're going to form a female union in here.
Is that a Jewish crack?
That's a great idea.
Come on, Dan.
That was not a Jewish crack. We need to get out of here now. Things are splintering. This is Dan Hansa signing off for Fraggles Rock. Connie Fox, the boss, and Sully behind the glass. Till Monday!